coming to Cape Park Church is the minister of reserved parking space. Never had that before. This afternoon, I'm going to meet with Reverend Alistair Sackington, who is a friend and was, before he moved to Troon Old Parish Church, was minister at New Kilpatrick Parish Church, and he had a reserved parking space there. But there was a notice at the minister's parking space, and probably still is at New Kilpatrick there then, and it says, minister's parking space, and then it says, you park here, you preach here. And that's exactly how it was in Jesus' day, in synagogues. There wasn't anybody in the synagogue who sat up the night before preparing a sermon. The idea in a synagogue, and in many synagogues still is that as you came in at the door, the elder or the person welcoming you would say to you, you're on the work today, you're on the sermon today. That's how it happened. So when Jesus arrived at the synagogue that day, he was greeted with the invitation to speak. No doubt they'd heard about him. And he arrived and they said, well, you preach. And so Jesus preached. The same thing happened, by the way, in many churches in Spain. We were on holiday and we arrived one evening for an evening service. And the elders at the door said, you'll do the reading today, will you? Fortunately, it wasn't the sermon. But that's how it was in the synagogue. And so Jesus preached. And it was all this reading that we heard earlier, and it was all about what happened. Because he preached that day, and there was a man there who was very greatly disturbed. And he began to shout out, and Jesus was able to calm him down with that word that he spoke. And of course, Mark is fascinated by voices. You maybe have noticed that in the Gospel according to St. Mark, it all begins with voices. It doesn't begin with Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and wise men and all that kind of thing. It begins with voices. First of all, there's the voice of John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. And then there is the voice of the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus and Jesus hears a voice. And then, of course, there is this business of calling the disciples. They heard a voice, and by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said to them, come to me, they heard a voice. And then there is this event, this is the first public preaching of Jesus in the synagogue at Capernaum. Although he grew up in Nazareth, most of his ministry was around Capernaum. Here in the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus makes his entrance and hears a voice again, a voice preaching. And then there's the voice of this man calling out. He calls out, Jesus, what have you got to do with us? And then there's the voices of the people around who say, this man preaches in a different way from all others. He speaks with authority. And then, of course, there is the voice of Jesus, who says, addressing the man, come out of him, be quiet, be still. He uses the same word that is used in the story of the calming of the storm. The same word, and he says, be still, be quiet. And he speaks with such authority that the man is silenced, and all things become quiet. Yesterday was Holocaust Memorial Day, and I just noticed that the theme of Holocaust Memorial Day this year is the power of words. And we know about the power of words, and it's a very topical thing. What about fake news? You see, the reason that fake news is such a worry is because it is so powerful. What about Facebook and Twitter and all these things? The reason that they've caused such an upset across society is because they are words that are powerful, that can change how people think and what they believe. So words are not just things that have meaning. Words don't just have meaning. Words do things. Words can hurt. Words can mislead. Words can terrorize. Words can disappoint. Words can make people sad. Words can make people happy. Words do things. And of course, that's precisely the message of the Bible. It begins with words doing things. God said, let there be light, and there was. God said, let the water be separated from the dry land. God said, let the earth bring forth every living thing. And if God works with a word, it's a word
that does things. Jesus has a light that does things. In his miracles, he says, your sins are forgiven. Rise, take up your bed, walk, be clean. Over and over again uses words, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, giving people hope. And remember that incident in Matthew chapter 8 where a centurion comes to Jesus and he said, my servant is ill. And Jesus says, well, I'll come and see him. And the centurion says, you don't need to come. You don't need to come. If you just see it, it will be done. He will be healed. You don't need to come. He recognized the power of Jesus' words to do things. And of course, what about the call of these disciples? Here they are, they're at work. They're busy. They've got a career. They're employed. They're doing. And suddenly this stranger comes along the shore of Galilee and with a word he says, come and follow me. And Mark says, immediately, at once. Mark's full of immediately's and at once. Because Jesus' word is so powerful. It affects that which it says. It doesn't just mean something, it does something. Now we had a teacher at DL High School in Motherwell. His name was Mr. Taylor. And he was the maths teacher. And he had an awful reputation because he was a hard, hard, hard man. And he had a moustache, so his nickname among the people was Stashy Taylor. And this is what Stashy used to do. This is the days, by the way, of the blackboard and the white chalk. And you know, it's a whiteboard and a black pen. I don't know if you didn't have a board at all, it's a computer. But in those days, it was the blackboard and the white chalk. And he would write on the board. He used to talk about giving us a dose of sums. And he would write on the board. And then he would turn around and he would fix his eye on Simpson or somebody else. And he would throw the chalk. And he would hit you with the chalk. And then he would say, Simpson, would you like to clean the blackboard? Now that wasn't an invitation. You understand? That wasn't an invitation. That was a powerful command. It is like Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, he said to the disciples, come and follow me. They felt that it wasn't an invitation. They recognized that this was a word of authority and a voice that affected what it said. And so immediately, says Mark, they got up and followed him. And that was what happened that day in the synagogue. People were astonished, Mark says. And they said to each other, what kind of man is this that he speaks with such authority, that he speaks with such power, that the words that he uses makes happen what he says. What he says is made happen by the authority that is within him. Now my father started to go to church when I started to train for ministry. I remember coming to a church. By the way, if you want to know how you're doing, don't ask a stranger, ask somebody in your own family. Because that's how you get, if you're trying on a new frock these days, right? Don't ask a stranger, don't ask the assistant how you're looking, because they'll tell you you're looking beautiful. Ask one of their own and they'll give you the truth. So I said to my father after one service, I said, well, how do you think I did? And he said, well, to be honest, he said, you're young. And you've plenty of room for improvement. And then he said, this is the powerful bit. He then said, to be honest, he said, it didn't need you a lot for me. Right? It didn't do a lot for me. You see, a lot that doesn't do anything is powerless. But that wasn't the kind of word that Jesus spoke. You see, the authority wasn't in the words, it was in the person who was using them. Wasn't the words that were powerful, it was the person who was using them. There's not a word in this account of what Jesus was preaching about. Not a word. Not a word. The authority was in the individual. That's been my experience too. I can't remember a single Sunday school lesson. Can you? But I remember the teacher. I can't remember a BD Bible class address given by a wonderful captain. Not a word can I remember of all those years from when I was 9 till I was 18. Can't remember a single thing they said, but I remember who said it. The authority, you see, is in the individual. John says that in Jesus Christ, the Word was embodied. The Word became flesh. The God who spoke in Genesis with a word so powerful that it created the universe and every universe beyond, that God whose word is all powerful was embodied in Jesus Christ. So that when we come across those familiar words that we know so well, we need to recognize that they're not just words hanging in the air. They are words that can affect what they say. They will make happen what they mean. You are forgiven. I won't ever leave you, nor forsake you. My peace I give unto you, a peace that the world cannot give. These are not just words hanging in the air. These are words that do what they say. And as day by day we listen to words coming at us from every quarter. The battle of the world around us. Pray God that in the midst of all these words we hear His word, which is a word of authority, because it's a word of power, and it does what it says. Amen. Thanks be to God for His word today. We worship God now with our offering.